This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
Now, we have got some packs that are being given out this morning. Carolyn has got some helpers. Now, these are going to be going out to each person here today. We want the kids, all the kids to get one, and adults, if you're in a couple, you can share. You can kind of go one between two. Well, I think we've prepared about 200, but there's far more than 200 with us here today. So there are some packs going out that Carol and some helpers are distributing now. For those of you who are at home, I'm sorry, we don't have one for you. There's no DHL person at your front door right now with your pack. Okay, as they are being distributed, I got a bit of a pop quiz for you. I love our country of Australia. I'm a huge fan of it. I love being an Aussie, and we have some very interesting and unique fauna, very different animals to pretty much any part of the world. And so while the bags are going out, I've got a pop quiz for you. So we've got a few pictures of animals. The first one's pretty easy. What are they? Kangaroos. Excellent, excellent. Kangaroos. I'm not sure whether they're saying hello or they're about to fight one another, but I've got a couple of kangaroos. What's our next one, Caleb? Koala. Okay. I actually think that's prophetic, because that's going to what some of you are going to look like at about 2 o'clock today after you've eaten way too much chocolate. You're just going to be going, ugh, after too much chocolate. Okay, the next one's a bit trickier. Who knows what that is? A quokka. Well done. See, I thought I'd have to give you a hint. That's a quokka. So Rottnest. Anybody been to Rottnest Island? Okay, Roddy. Yep, great. Over in WA. Rottnest Island. Okay, the next one, Caleb. What's that? A wombat. A wombat. All right. Place is going nuts with bags being given out at the moment. I think we got one more, Caleb. A platypus. A platypus. How are we going with distributing? Has everybody got a bag? I think everybody's got a bag. Okay, thank you, Carol and Danielle, Ian, Fiona, and the rest of the crew. Everyone got a bag now? Look, Pat's got his own bag. How good's that? Doesn't have to share with his mama. Very good. I think Danielle's still got a few up the back here for those who may have missed out. Now, Don't start going too much into the bag just yet, because you're going to need it during the message today. Actually, Josh, can I get you to help me with this table here, buddy? If you want to grab the other end of it. No, that's fine. All good. Okay. Thanks, Josh. Everybody, thank Josh. Josh does an awesome job. And Josh loves it when I embarrass him. Okay. Well, I think everyone's got a bag now. All right, a bit of excitement, a bit of energy in the room this morning. Well, you may not be aware of it, but back in the 1700s and 1800s, when the east coast of Australia was being colonized, we have such unique animals here in Australia that the people back in the England and Europe, they were actually in disbelief about a whole lot of the animals that we found here. Particularly, if we can go back to that platypus slide, thanks Caleb, particularly the platypus that we saw before. And so when they started to discover platypuses or platypi, I'm not sure what the correct terminology is there, when they discovered the platypus here, they began to describe it back to their zoologist friends back in Europe. And they said, well, you know what? It's furry and about rabbit size, which make it look like, I don't know, a mammal, but it's also got a duck bill and webbed feet. And it looks a bit like a duck, a bit like a bird. But in terms of how it reproduces, it lays eggs, and it's actually a lot like a reptile, a lot like a snake, actually, in the way it reproduces. And the zoologists back in Europe, they said, no, I'm sorry, that can't happen. You can't have a hybrid of a mammal and a bird and a reptile all kind of squished into one. That just doesn't work. That's impossible. And so some years later on, they actually found, sadly, a dead platypus, and they sent it back to England. And they said, look, here you go. Here's a platypus. And the people, this is a true story, kid you not, the people back in England started to look for, could they see the stitching marks, because they literally thought that the people in Australia were playing a practical joke on them. And they thought that surely they've stitched on the duckbill on the front and surely they've stitched on the web feet, because an animal like this cannot exist. It's impossible for a platypus. And so the Australians are scratching their heads, and eventually, and again, sadly for the platypus, eventually there was a platypus that got shot, and it had just laid an egg. And they found that there was still another egg inside the mama platypus, and they were able to say, see, here is the platypus. We're not making this up. In fact, it was almost 100 years after colonization began that people back in England and Europe started to believe that the platypus could actually exist. It was deemed to be impossible before, and yet now it was possible. In fact, what I want to do this morning is unpack a story that we take for granted these days. If you've been part of a church or some sort of Christian community of faith over any length of time, you will have heard this, what is now a very familiar story. But when it first happened, it was deemed to be even more impossible than the platypus. So I'm going to ask Courtney, where's Courtney gone, my friend Courtney? Where's she gone? Where's Courtney? Oh, there she is. Hey, come on up here, Courtney. Courtney's going to bring a Bible reading to us today. You've got a microphone. Let's welcome Courtney. Courtney's awesome. You've got a microphone over there, Courtney. And Courtney's agreed. If you've got a Bible handy, you might want to turn over to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, and we're going to commence, or Courtney's going to commence at verse 57. All right. Good to go, Courtney. Thanks so much.
As the evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had been himself a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body wrapped in a clean linen cloth and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of a rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, after the preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remembered that while he was still alive, that the disgrace said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has raised from the dead. This last description will be worse than the first." After Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary took a look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and was going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he laid. Then quickly go and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead, is going to head to Galilee." There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, collapsed at his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers. Go to Galilee. there they will see me.
Thanks, Courtney. Good on you. Let's thank Courtney. Well done. All right. So when Jesus is buried in the tomb on Friday, not only do the Romans place a seal on the stone that had been rolled in front, and that seal was basically there to say, if you break this seal, we're going to break you. We're going to kill you. They also post a guard, probably a four-man Roman soldier detachment, is placed at the front of the tomb. But on Sunday, the impossible becomes possible. And an angel comes and single-handedly rolls the stone away from the entrance to the tomb, and the seal is broken, and the guards there, it says, that they shake with fear and they become like dead people. You ever heard the phrase, caught like a deer in the headlights? A bit like that, kind of, what? They couldn't move. And I love what happens next. In the passage that Courtney just read for us, and it said, and the angel just sat on the big stone. And I think that's really cool, like a seal's going to stop me, or a big stone's going to stop me. He's just sitting there. And I think the other reason he's sitting there on the stone that he just rolled away is because I think it gave him the best place to watch as Jesus, who had been crucified on Friday, walks out resurrected and alive on Sunday. That angel had the best seat in the house. That was awesome. With Jesus, the impossible became possible. In fact, in our culture, there are multiple ways that we remember the life that Jesus got at Resurrection Sunday and the life that we now have, but also the fact of the empty tomb. In fact, I'm going to need some help this morning with this next bit. Maddie, can you give me a hand this morning? I'm going to embarrass you. Yeah, come on. Come on up here, Maddie. Quick, come on. Quick, here she comes. Trust me, Maddie, this is one you want to help with me with, all right? Maddie just loves getting in front of all church, particularly on Easter Sunday when there's a few hundred people here, don't you, Maddie? Are we still best friends or what? No, we're not. We are so not, she says. Okay. See? Who looks out for you now, Maddie? So, what do you think that is, obviously? A chocolate Easter egg. Oh, I should have got you a microphone. That's all right. Okay, so can you give it a little shake for me? Okay, so does it sound, how does it sound? Empty. Okay, so what I want you to do, I need you to make sure of it now. I know how good, so if you place that there, and I know how good you are with hammers. Now, before you take a swing at it, remember that Wendy Sue Mitchell is sitting over there, and Wendy Sue cleans this place. And if you get chocolate everywhere, I'm going to be in trouble. so Maddie, I need you to look out for me. So what I want you to do, not rather than go whack, I just want you to tap it until you can crack it and see what's inside. Oh, yeah, okay, that'll do. Okay, now put it down. You're looking a bit too professional, so let's peel it back. Sensational. Now, were you right? It's empty. Sensational. Okay, and that's one, now you get to keep that now, and you get to share that with Mama. So look out for you, Roz. nobody else, just you and your grandmother. All right, but thank you. Yeah, it's empty. It's empty, and that's one of the ways that we remember the empty tomb at Easter, that when we have these chocolate Easter eggs, which we'll probably consume too many of today, that inside, apart from the real little tiny ones, which are just cheap and nasty, they're empty. They're empty. And that's one of the ways that we remember the empty tomb. Thank you, Maddie. I appreciate your help. Well done. There's nothing in the tomb. Now, in your bags this morning, whoops, that's over here for me. In your bags this morning, you don't get an Easter egg that is as impressive as Maddie's, you get one of these. One of these little ones. Okay, everybody hold that up. Okay, now if you squeeze it just a little bit, it will open up and it is empty on the inside as well. Empty on the inside as well. And that's one of the ways that we remember the empty tomb this morning. Now, for the kids after service today, you're actually going to get to do the Easter hunt, and there's probably, rather than these cheap plastic ones with it empty, you're probably going to get some decent eggs a little bit later on. Okay. Also, in your bag this morning, there is a sticker, and your sticker should look something like that. It's a sticker of the empty tomb, and what I want you to do with that, on the outside, peel it off and stick it onto the outside of your bag. Where are we? Hang on. A little bit like that. All right? A bit like that. On the outside of your bag. Now, if you prefer to stick it onto your person sitting next to you, your parent, whatever, you can do that too if you like. But I'm going to stick mine on the outside of the bag. Okay, while you're doing that. Okay. So while you're doing that, I find it fascinating that it says in the scriptures that not only did the women and the disciples encounter the risen Jesus, it actually says later on, and we didn't get Courtney to read this morning because the passage was already quite long. We also read later on that there were up to 500 people all at once who saw the resurrected Jesus. So it wasn't just a couple of people who got a glimpse of the resurrected Jesus. No, no, no. This was hundreds of people who encountered the resurrected Christ. And when people met Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, their lives were changed. Mary, as we read, goes to the tomb and she comes along with spices ready to prepare the deceased body of Jesus. But then Mary, in verse 8 it says there, encounters Jesus, and rather than sadness, her heart is filled with joy. And then the disciples, who only days before had run away from Jesus when he was getting arrested, they start running toward the empty tomb. They encounter Jesus and their hearts are filled with courage. The impossible became possible. Death was defeated. Jesus was raised in power, and Jesus changes lives. It happened for Mary. It happened for the disciples. It's happened for many people in this room. The resurrected Jesus changes lives. But right now, before I get into how Jesus changes lives, because I kind of got part B to this, because there's a lot more still in our bags this morning. There's a lot more still in our bags. I want to invite our worship team to come up, because we're going to sing a song right now about the resurrected Jesus and the difference that he makes in a life. So I'm going to ask you to stand up where you are, and we are going to sing together before we go into part B of the message. Thanks, team. So there's so much that the resurrection of Jesus accomplishes. And there's four things that I want to very briefly highlight to you. The first one is forgiveness and freedom. Then it's friendship. Then there's life. And then there's leadership. But if I'm going to ask you right now to take out, there are three pipe cleaners in there you're going to find in your bag today. I need you to straighten them out. Straighten them out there. There are four pipe cleaners. And while there's four pipe cleaners, I'm going to need another volunteer. Hey, Jake, can you give me a hand for a sec, mate? You want to come up here? Good on you, man. Welcome, Jake. Come on. Jake's awesome. Okay. All right. That was very underwhelming that time. I think they were getting their stuff out of their bags, but I appreciate you here, mate. Thank you. Sensational. Woo! Good man. Good man. Okay. So, Jake, you got three pipe cleaners there, buddy? Good. Okay. So, sorry, you got three? You got four. Wow, okay. Happy days for you. Good man. I only got three in mine. Well, I got ripped off. all right. So in life, I've found oftentimes we get something that's, I want you to imagine this is kind of one of God's good gifts. How good's a pipe cleaner? But you get God, some of God's good gifts. And sometimes in life, what I find I do, and I know that others do as well, we take God's good gifts and we kind of bend it out of shape a whole lot. We kind of twist it around and then we get stuck in circles of bad habits. You ever found that in life? That there's something that is a good gift from God, and we end up twisting it out of all shape, and we end up getting caught in a circle of habit. And so I want to ask you to take your pipe cleaner, make one of those to start us. Jake, you got one of those? Yep, happy days. Okay, but then what I've also found is there are other habits that I develop as well, and I take another gift, good gift of God. I want you to run it through the first one. And again, and I twist that good gift of God. It might be speech, for example. And God's given us the ability to communicate with one another, gift of speech. But instead of encouraging people sometimes we can speak harshly. Sometimes we end up gossiping about other people. Well, you might take your third pipe cleaner and run it through again. And maybe there are resources that God has given to us, and that's good resources that he's given to us, resources that we can use to bless others, and resources that we can use to care for the poor and the marginalized. And instead, sometimes we bend that thing around as well. And we end up bending that thing out of shape and getting into bad habits of selfishness, or maybe habits of envy. and we just want more and more and more, and we fall prey to consumerism, and pretty soon we end up with kind of a chain. You got a chain there as well? You got a chain there, Jake? Yeah, you can do your fourth one there, buddy. And here's what happens. If you want to put yours there, buddy, here's what happens. Come over here, sport. You hold that, just with both hands. What was that, Karen? Okay, spin around a bit. Spin around, keep going. Keep going. Keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going, about there. Stop, face that way. I was thinking before, I feel a bit like David Copperfield. You've seen David Copperfield, the magician in, you know, in Las Vegas Strip? And, yeah. Leave it like that for a second, mate. Yeah, that's all good. You stand there. You look handsome. You look to stand there, face the people. You're looking great there, Jake. Sensational. Well done, mate. But sometimes, or like Jake's doing a great job here. He's all chained up. But sometimes life can be like that, can't it? Sometimes we take the good gifts of God. Look at Sophia's getting a photo now. Yeah. Instagram, here we come. Sunday at church with my brother. There's the hashtag right there. But sometimes in life, it can end up like that, can't it? Where we take God's good gifts and we end up bending them. We end up manipulating them. We reject God's leadership in our lives. And we take these good things and they end up becoming chains. And rather than experiencing freedom in life, we end up, a bit like Jake here, all chained up. We end up bound up, not necessarily because of stuff other people have done to us, but because of our own choices in life. But here's the thing, on the cross, and you'll be happy to know, mate, I've got the key. He's breathing a sigh of relief. On the cross, Jesus releases the power of these chains. Now, for some of us, you know what? And I appreciate this, they're still hanging on there, but the power of those chains is released. Now, if Jake's lived with those kind of chains for a whole lot of years, perhaps Jake's become used to them. You know what? Sometimes in life, I think we can become used to the chains as well. But part of what Jesus does on the cross, he empowers us. He releases the power of the chains. He gets rid of those things. And in his strength, in his resurrection power, we can begin to know freedom in Jesus. Jesus sets us free. So what happens is Jesus comes along and he starts to release some of these chains. And the chains, you can step out of there, man. And the chains begin to fall to the ground. Good on you, mate. Well done. Thank you. Sadly, you don't get a massive chocolate Easter egg, though. You can pinch some of Maddie's later on. Is that all right? Is that all right, Maddie? Yeah, great. Okay. But that's what Jesus comes and he brings through his resurrection. He gives freedom. He brings freedom. He brings forgiveness. So rather than being bound by chains, we can actually begin to experience freedom and forgiveness because of Jesus. So here's what I'd like us to do this morning. We've got some helpers again, and our helpers, actually, Jake, do you want to grab this one, mate? Because this is yours. This ain't mine. We've got helpers who have come around with plastic bags, rubbish bags. They're rubbish bags. And those chains that have been binding you, they're rubbish, those things. And I want to encourage you to take those chains that have been linked up there and toss them in the rubbish. So we've got Carolyn, Dan's, Fiona. I think there was another, Ian's out the back there. And I just want to encourage you, throw them in the rubbish bag. There's mine, Dan's. Thank you. You can throw them in the rubbish bin. And symbolically, that's representing that this is what Jesus does for us on the cross. Jesus brings forgiveness. Jesus brings freedom through his resurrection, through his empty tomb. So throw them out. I know that there's people waiting to throw theirs out. There's stuff that's been binding some of us for a long, long time, and maybe the word for you today is you can know freedom in Jesus because of the resurrection power. Scriptures say that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to each of us. There's power to be set free from those things that have been binding you up just like chains. So anybody still need to throw theirs out? Everybody got a chance to throw them out? Oh, there's some over here, Dan's, yep. In the middle. Here we go. Ian's coming from the back there, down this way. Here we go. There's some behind you there, Alison. Yep, Ian. Oh, yep, beautiful. Okay, I want everyone just to throw those things out. Um, There's other things that the resurrection does. Oh, over here, sorry. There's over this way as well. We don't want you hanging on to that any longer, do we? No. Good on you, little pigs. Okay. Everyone had a chance to throw them out? Good. Good. There's another thing that the resurrection does. And the resurrection enables us to, the word I want to use is become friends with God. In fact, more than friends, family. Family with him. Jesus said on one occasion to this guy Nicodemus, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead brings new life for us and adoption into God's own family. And I don't know about you, but that is a really good thing. The thing that stood between me and God, these chains have been dealt with, and I'm invited to be part of God's family, one of his friends. And so in your bag again, there's a little smiley face sticker. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was at school, I would cover half the earth to get a smiley sticker from my teacher. They were really good. Now, back in the day, they were a stamp, but you got a sticker. And now, if you want to be boring, you can stick it onto your bag, if you want to be boring. But if you want to be cool like me, maybe not cool. Yeah, you can stick it on your front of your shirt, or you might want to stick it on your forehead or on your hand. And I can't get the back of mine off. Ah. Where is it? Carolyn, can you help me get the back of this thing off? You're a teacher. Oh, you're a champion. Good on you, sweetheart. Thank you. Okay. So mine's going on my shirt there. It's just a reminder that we have been brought into God's own family. Man, and that is a source of joy. That is a beautiful thing that we are invited into God's own family. In the bag as well, now this one might be difficult to find. There is a little seed. Where's my seed gone? Carolyn, I think the seed's fallen out of my... Have you got the seed there in yours, sweetie? You got the seed? Good on you, Sophia. How good are you? Thanks, sweetie. Good on you. Okay, in there, and you won't be able to see this from the back, but in there is a tiny little black seed. A tiny little black seed. Tiny little black seed. It's actually a sunflower seed. These things are one of life's great miracles, I think, these little seeds. Because if you look at your seed that you've got there, it looks kind of just like a bit of wood. It looks pretty dead. But if you plant it, a few weeks later, a shoot is going to start sprouting up. And in time, it's going to become something that looks a bit like that. Big sunflower. That's a little sunflower seed that you have in your bag there. In fact, I was doing some research recently, and over in Israel, they discovered that archaeologists are doing a dig, and they discovered in these very ancient, like a few thousand-year-old clay pots, they found little date palm seeds. Little date palm seeds. Now, I didn't realize this, but apparently date palms, there's either a male date palm or a female date palm. I did not know that they had different genders, but they do. And they found these seeds in these old clay pots, thousands of years old. And the farmers over there, they thought, I wonder. And so they took these date palm seeds and they planted them. And you know what? After thousands of years, these date palms are now springing up. And because they got both male and female date palms, there's more and more of these date palms. And these date palms are thousands of years old. These seeds have been lying dormant for thousands of years, and now they've sprung to life. And over in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul writes, he says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions and sin. It is by grace you have been saved. You see, we're a lot like this little seed. By nature, we are separated from God, and that's kind of death. But you know what the resurrection does? The resurrection gives us life. We are made new. Spirit gives birth to spirit. You can be made alive in Jesus. And we're not just talking eternal life kind of after you die. We're talking about life in the here and now, a fullness of life in the here and now, that if you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe you've never experienced anything like it before. You can be a lot like that little seed. There's one more thing in your bag, actually probably two more things. There's a big piece of card, big bit of cardboard, and hopefully a pencil in there as well. You've got the big bit of card and a pencil. Now, this might get a little bit awkward, and so you might need to find a little bit of space. Don't headbutt the person in front of you. What I want you to do is on the bit of floor in front of you, I want you to put the piece of paper, I want you to pop your foot on top, and then I want you to draw around your shoe or your sandal or your foot, whatever you've got. I want you to get the outline of your foot. In fact, I'm going to borrow one of these. Can I borrow a texter for a second? Thank you. So you make the outline around your foot. Thank you. I like the sticker too. And so it should look something a little like that. Maybe your foot's not as big as mine, or maybe you've got a really, really big hoof. So it might look something like that. Okay. And the reason that I've asked you to do that, and I'll ask you to write on there, so keep the pencil in your hand, is that there's one other thing that resurrection does. The resurrection is an invitation to us to allow Jesus' leadership. Okay, we've talked about forgiveness, and we've talked about friendship, and we've talked about life, and this is an invitation to experience Jesus' leadership, to say to him, you know what, I've been running life my way, and I want to receive those gifts that you've got. I want to receive life. I want to receive forgiveness. I want to receive your presence by your Holy Spirit. And the reason I ask you to trace around your foot today or your shoe today is I want to ask you the question, what is your next step? What is your next step? Maybe your next step, if you've been a follower of Jesus for a whole lot of years now, is one, a response of worship and thankfulness, of being reminded afresh this Resurrection Sunday of the goodness of God, of the fact that He has saved you, that He loves you, that He's invited you into His own family. Maybe your next step, maybe you're not a follower of Jesus right now, and your next step is actually receiving Him, receiving what He's done for you, saying, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe what you've done for me. I believe that you want to give me life and life to the full. I want to believe that you've given me forgiveness, and I receive those things. I receive the gift of your Holy Spirit. Maybe that's your next step, because up until now, you've been doing life your way on your own terms, and Jesus has largely been left out of the picture. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe it's asking Jesus to help you to experience freedom in an area that you've been bound up in. Maybe you feel, when you saw Jake up here with all his chains, you felt a bit like that. And maybe you go, this Easter, Jesus, I want to ask that your resurrection power would be appropriated in my life, would be used in my life, and to help me break that chain that's been there for quite some time. Maybe today is the day when you ask Jesus to set you free from something that's been binding it up. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's unforgiveness. You've been struggling to forgive someone. You go, Jesus, I feel like that thing is just binding me up right now. I'm not living fullness of life. Would you set me free? Would you set me free? So what I'd encourage you to do on your bit of paper now is to actually write down my next step. And maybe it is one of worship. Maybe it's one of inviting Jesus to be your Savior and your leader. Maybe it's asking for help with something that's bound you. Just in where your shoe is, where your footmark is, you can write it in there. I want to give you just a few moments to do that as our worship team comes back up. So write in there, what's my next step? My next step is... And as you're writing, if you want to talk to someone about your next step, I would be more than happy to debrief that with you. And you can call me on my mobile, or probably call the church office is the easiest way, or send an email, craigcorkill@nvbc.info. That's my email address. I'd love to be able to do the journey with you. You don't have to do it alone. But maybe today is the day when you take a key next step in your relationship with Jesus. So before the band lead us one more time, and as you're writing, I just want to pray for us this Resurrection Sunday. Jesus, I thank you that you have given us forgiveness and freedom. I thank you that you've made us friends and family. I thank you that you've given us life, Lord Jesus, and that you are leading us. Thank you for next steps that are happening all around the room today and online as well. And Jesus, we pray this Resurrection Sunday that we would know the fullness of life that you have for us. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.